19, if you want to mark that for after the reading, we will say the Athanasian Creed, and we will be speaking it responsively, whole verse by whole verse. And if you're listening to this at home, you'll have it in your bulletin. It'll just be every other line. Of course, I'll start it off. So anyway, we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. My whole being real. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith and to worship the unity and the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign one God, now and forever. Gospel for this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants, plant-yielding seeds, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants, yielding seeds, according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which in their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be light in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light, to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and all the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ. And he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise. Chapter.
disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord. Let's join in confessing our faith in the words of the Athanasian Creed. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith.
Whoever does not keep it hold and defile will without doubt perish eternally.
And the Catholic faith is this:
that we worship one God in Trinity.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another.
But the God made the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one. The glory is equal, the majesty of eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father is uncreated, the Son is uncreated.
Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated, or three infinite, but one uncreated and one infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three Almighties, but one Almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three Lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we proclaiming, prohibited by the Catholic religion, to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not named, nor created, nor begotten
of
anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is
thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son and not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in the Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than the other.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things that have been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity.
But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is my right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man.
He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age.
Her earthly God and her earthly man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of persons.
For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead,
ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
And at his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds.
And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe in God,
our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was thinking, what is the measure of a man's life? Is it the sum total of one's experiences?
And when I say man, of course, I'm referring to women and men. You know. Is it length of days? Sometimes I think we act like it is length of days. Like, for instance, if a young person dies, well, they had so much to live for. They just started. Now, someone who passes away who is elderly, we might say, well, they had a good life. They had a full life. Yesterday was the 76th anniversary of D-Day. And on that day, 2,500 young American men died on the beaches. Another almost double that, or another 2,500, a little more actually, probably about 2,700, were wounded or missing in action. Of those people that died, we probably would say, well, they had their whole life ahead of them, and it's been taken from them. Think about all the things they could have done. How many authors died? How many artists died? How many great statesmen may have there been among those who died? I mean, that's the way we kind of look at things. Even a young artist, perhaps a musician who is very popular even among the fans, and if their life is cut short, we might think all of that talent, all of that beauty is gone. We'll never hear another song from that person. And you know, when you think about it, that's sad. It truly is. But we try to make the best of death, don't we? We try to make the best out of it. Well, they had a good life. They contributed a lot to society. How thankful we are for what they left behind. How thankful we are for their legacies. And of course we are thankful for all those men who died on that first day, but not only that day, but throughout that whole horrible time in history. And it truly was a horrible time when you had the man of lawlessness, Adolf Hitler, terrorizing the world, conquering nations and ruling not benevolently, but malevolently, if I can say the word. But that came to an end. That came to an end, as so many times that sort of rule does. But it really came to an end when a crowd stood around and yelled, not those who supported the man, understand, crucify him. Crucify him. There were agitators in the crowds. And as people in crowds find out, and as we have seen in real time, I guess we could say, truly real time, on our TV sets, crowds being whipped into a frenzy of violence. Crowds that were at one point peaceful. Now, we can say, well, the crowd was different. Well, some of them were, but some of them stuck around and became part of the madness. And that's what happened 2,000 years ago with Jesus, a man of peace, who proclaimed the kingdom of God, who who promised that he was going to bring an end to that old enemy of ours, death. That he was going to usher in life eternal through his own death. We hear Peter standing up on Pentecost Day, declaring to the multitudes what we heard in the gospel lesson. What a powerful word of law. Totally law. Understand that. Peter wasn't shy. He didn't beat around the bush. He said, you all know Jesus. He was among you doing good. And we know the good he did. He didn't have to spell it out, but he did. He did good. He miraculously fed people. He healed their sicknesses, all kinds of illness, all kinds of crippling effects that many suffer through, such as blindness, lameness. I guess that's the word, lameness. But he healed these people. He never did anything bad. He never spoke out against the government. Even when some tried to trick him and challenge him. Is it lawful to pay taxes? Someone asked. Jesus says, give me a coin. He gets a coin. He said, whose image is on it? He said, Caesar. He said, give unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God those things which are God's. He didn't come into this world to set up a new government of the earth. He didn't come to abolish the governments that exist. Instead, the church upholds them, those governments. The Apostle Paul talks about that, and he says of the government, they're here for your good. They keep us safe. They keep the laws in force so there isn't chaos. They serve a purpose. They serve God. Even if they don't know they are serving God. This is God's way of order in a fallen world. In a fallen world. So bad men and bad women rise up and they grab the kingdoms of the world for themselves. And they exclude God. And they make of God as though he is nothing. And the world relishes it, and they flock at it, because guess what? There's no more law that condemns us. We can do whatever we want. When Hitler rose on the scene, that's kind of what he did. He did away with the laws of God and replaced them with the laws of man. And what did that leave? Chaos, sorrow, death, murder by the millions. But men of God, children of God, from this nation, rose up to throw that mantle off of the world. And what a mighty work they did. Most of them were God-fearing men. They worshiped God on Sundays. They gathered together. And they worshiped and believed in God and believed in His goodness and believed in everlasting life. And I dare say if someone didn't believe in Him on D-Day, they did. Now, anyone that served in the military understands that and knows that. and everyone that's ever served our nation deserves our thankfulness because of what they did and what they were willing to give up. They were willing to give up those high platitudes. Well, he had a good life. He lived a long time. Well, Jesus shows us it's not the length of days that is important, but what we do with the days we have. For 30 years, Jesus was pretty much silent, except for a couple instances we read about in Scripture when he was an infant and when he was a 12-year-old lad. But apart from that, we don't really hear anything of him. He doesn't interfere in what's going on in the world. He says nothing until John is out there baptizing the people and the people are going to him to be baptized. And Jesus goes there too. And John wants to refuse him because he says, I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you. And Jesus says, let it go for now. This is what's important. Because God was taking humanity into himself, he became man in order that he could die. Because you see, God can't die. But when he became man, he emptied part of that divinity from himself in order that he could go through this life like we do, but without sinning. He was tempted in every way, but never gave in. He had to not give in for our sake. For our sake. So that he could take our sins upon himself when he died on the cross. It's not the length of days, it's what we do with the days that we have. And Jesus showed that in 3 years. He demonstrated God's word in action. And then he went to the cross to take all our sins upon himself and to die, sending a nail into death. Because death could not hold him. Death could not hold him because he is the author of life. And we heard that in Genesis, how God created everything and gave everything life and made it possible that life would continue on through the seed of every plant, of every living creature, to Adam and Eve. It's not the length of days in this world that's important. For we have been promised eternal life, everlasting life. In this world, thankfully, it will come to an end. All the murders and all the hatred and all the ugliness that we see going on around us and that we have seen happen when we look back in history. And we can look back in history and we know what the future has to offer, more of the same, because that's the condition of man. But God has planted his church in the midst of this, like the Garden of Eden, in the midst of the world. He plants it there for our good. And the church is here for our good. The church is here to remind us that we are forgiven by Jesus. Do you know what Pilate did? You know what Pilate did when the people said, crucify me. Pilate didn't want to crucify Jesus, but his hands were tied, we might say. He had political considerations, we might say. He had fear of Caesar, which was probably justified, especially for a man in his position. What Pilate did was go to a bowl of water and wash his hands. And he said, I am innocent of this man's blood. And you know what the people responded to him? Let his blood be on us and on our children. Why would you wish that on your children? Let his blood be on us was one thing, but you're going to also add your children into it? So Jesus goes, and he is crucified. We know the story. And Peter tells the story to the people again. And he says, this Christ whom you crucified through lawless men, in other words, through the Gentiles, through the Romans, but you're guilty, God has made him both Lord and Messiah. All law, on the outside a little bit, it looks like there's gospel there, but you know, because God raised him up and made him Lord. No! Well, it is, but no! Because of everything else he had just said. You're guilty, but God raised him up. What do you think? They're joyful right at this moment? No. That's not good news. You killed the Son of God. What's he going to do to us? That would be my concern. What's he going to do to me? If I killed him, then what's he going to do to me if he's alive? I thought he was just a man. I thought he was another politician. I thought he was just a pretender. I thought what we did was right. I believed it was right. I yelled with him, crucify him. You'd be shaking in your sandals. So the crowd said to Peter, what must we do? What can we do? This is the good news. Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. How much easier can it be to receive forgiveness than that? Repent and be baptized. Not go out and slay your firstborn. Guess what the promise Peter said? This is for you and for your sons, for your children, and for your children's children. I think that's irony. Here's Pilate washing his hands of the blood of Jesus and saying, I'm innocent of this man. And they say, his blood be on us. Thankfully, his blood is on all of us. And it's through water. Same kind of water Pilate poured over his hands and declared himself innocent. But this is greater because God's word's in it and God says, you are innocent. It's really what he says. You are innocent and you're mine. And to show you that, here's my spirit. And he pours his spirit on us at that moment. We have God's spirit that leads us in our lives. It's not how long we live. It's what we do with it. And God has given us all a set time. Thankfully, we don't know when that day will be when he calls us. Because we might just not do anything until it gets close to that time. That's the way people are. And some people live that way, like they'll have that time when they have no idea when that time will end. No one knows. But what we do know is that we are forgiven in Christ. And this is all of God's plan for us. To do away with death. Yes, in this world we will die. But we've already died to this world. We died in our baptism. In our baptism we died with Christ because we were crucified with him. And as he was raised from the grave, St. Paul would say to us, so you too have been raised. Because our life is in him. He takes our lives into himself. And he gives us hope. Even when it looks like the world is going crazy. It always has been. And always will be that way. But we have the church. That place in the midst of chaos, that place which has God consoling us, strengthening us, feeding us. So this Holy Trinity, let's keep that in mind. Yes, indeed, let us be thankful for all those who gave their lives for our nation, especially on that day, D-Day. There were a lot of people that were crying, soldiers, not believing they would make it. Thankfully, most of them did, but a whole lot of them didn't. So we remember them. But above all, we remember Christ. Because without Christ, then the measure of one's life truly would need to be length of days. But that's not the case. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Blessed and Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, hear the prayers of your people and grant to us all things according to your word and promise. In the beginning, Father, your word spoke all things into being, and from nothing you made all that is. Help us to see the imprint of your love in the goodness of creation and to exercise responsible care of all that you have entrusted to us. Lord, in your mercy, throughout the ages, Father, your Spirit filled the sin-stained world and hope and called us to repentance and faith. Help us to hear the voice of your word and to respond with faith, confessing you without fear before all manner of people and in every corner of the earth. As you planned long before the world began, deliver us in Christ, that we may be your own and live according to your commands all our days. Lord, in your mercy, in this day and in this time, Father, raise up for your church godly men to serve her as pastors and faithful teachers and church workers to make known your saving gospel, raising up faithful servants who will heed your call and serve to the best of their ability wherever you place them. Lord, in your mercy, in baptism, you joined us to our Savior's death and resurrection. Father, guide us that we may live out faithfully the new lives born of water and the Spirit, serving you with all our bodies, minds, souls, and strength. In the face of disease and death, make us bold to expect that we will be united with him in a resurrection like his. Lord, in your mercy. In government and law, Father, you work to establish and preserve order, protecting the weak and fostering godly virtue. Bless our president, our governor, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. deliver the world from the threats of pandemic and tyranny, and preserve the nations in peace. Bless all who defend us in the armed forces, aid us in emergency and medical fields, and inform us with news. Hinder those who oppose any peoples with mistrust, with mistruth, violence, or fear. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In the hour of trial and in the moment of trouble, you are there, Father. Hear us as we cry to you for the sake of the sick, the troubled in mind, the wounded in heart, and those who grieve. Especially we lift up to you, O Lord, the family of Chris Pratt, who was suddenly taken away. Heavenly Father, bless them and comfort them. May they know the joy of the resurrection that our Lord promises us and assures us that we will have. And because of that, we will all be reunited again. We also lift up to you, Lord, Scott Stallings, Robert Galavias, Jan Johnson, Bo Wolf, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, and Gloria Havnum. Deliver them from afflictions as you will, and sustain them in hope with a patient heart and strength for the day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, in the blessed supper of our Lord, your Son has offered us his body as the bread of heaven and his blood as the cup of salvation. Help us to receive this blessed sacrament with faith and to show forth the fruits of the Spirit in lives of faith, repentance, and goodness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In the company of the saints, Father, you have shown us that you will not abandon your people, but will keep them to everlasting life. Receive our thanks for those who have gone before us with the sign of faith and now rest from their labors, and bring us at last to dwell with them in your presence forevermore. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In this hour of worship, Father, you serve us with gifts of your grace, so that forgiven we might know the gift of a clear conscience, and redeemed we might honor you with all we think, say, and do. Accept the sacrifice of our praise and the tithes and offerings we bring. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know we need, we pray you to grant us, Father, for the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, through whom, with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, both now and forevermore. Amen. song.